Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball. All basketball, all the time, all stories, all the time. You're going to love this. When I was at ESPN pretty early on, I said something about Brian Butch to the idea of whether he was overrated as a McDonald's All-American or whether the expectations of him were, you know, overrating him because, I mean, here's a perfect example. He redshirted his first year in college. But the story behind it is way more interesting than my take at the time. And my take on the time was kind of convoluted. It was more about expectations based upon a selection than it was any sort of personal shot at Brian. But again, during the times in television, you're not really as thorough as I wasn't as thorough as I could have been in why I said what I said, and it ruffled some people's feathers, I'm sure, at the time. Probably pissed him off at the time. Anyway, we're now sort of colleagues, right? Like he works for BTN, the Big Ten Network. He does a really good job. He's also very much involved in the youth basketball industry, so to speak. And I like him. I respect him. He became a hell of a college player and had a long, long career professionally. So I reached out to him. We've been trying to sit down and do this thing for a long time. Here's my catch up with former All Big Ten selection, state of Wisconsin legend, and now radio host and Big Ten college basketball analyst, Brian Butch.
Your first memory of basketball is where and when?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd probably have to go with the local YMCA here in Wisconsin, Appleton. Just as a little kid, little tyke rolling around, just hooping.
Okay, so Appleton, for people who they don't want to Google search it, right?
Yep.
It's just south and west of Green Bay, right?
Like, isn't it's about 20 minutes from Green Bay. That's it. So a little south of Green Bay, about 20 minutes. That's it. So it's cold a lot of the time, all that fun stuff. Yeah, everything that goes with Wisconsin, you can say that.
Now, is Green Bay a suburb of Appleton, or is Appleton a suburb of Green Bay?
They're separate. So you got Appleton. It's kind of like the Fox Valley. You got a bunch of small communities together, and then you've got probably about a 15 to 20 minute stretch where there's nothing really in between them. And then you got Green Bay. So I wouldn't say they're suburbs. I mean, it's small city living, pretty much. Green Bay, small city, Appleton, and they're kind of separated by a little bit. Yeah.
You grew up in the country, you grew up in the town?
I grew up in a town, a city. So I'm not a country boy. I'm not that. I've got a little city. Now it's not city Milwaukee living. It's not Madison living. It's kind of, when you look at Wisconsin, there's three big areas. It's Madison, Milwaukee, and then we call it the Fox Valley. It's kind of all put together. So that's kind of where it's at. Green Bay is a little bit outside of the Fox Valley, and then it's kind of all separated by, you know, smaller cities all throughout it.
Okay. So you start playing at the Appleton YMCA.
Oh yeah.
And you were always big, right? Were you always?
So I was 6 feet in sixth grade, 6'8" in eighth grade, 6'11" as a freshman. So,
and so every coach puts you down there like this, and let's throw the ball to Butch, and you throw it at the hoop, and right, and everybody's fouling you. You get called for fouls even though you don't foul, and little guys are able to punch you in the nuts and never get called for a foul. Right,
all the above,
completely unfair.
Yes.
So you're growing up in Appleton. Are you a Wisconsin fan? Because there's like two different 2000 when I graduated, you had that great team that went to the Final Four, right? And you had Mike Kelly, father of our country, right? With all them kids, he popped out, right? And it was a really, really good team. But it wasn't nationally, it wasn't beloved because they played so slow, right? Roy Williams said what he said. And then you have, but go ahead.
But it wasn't even that, like that they were playing slow. Like before that, they just weren't good. Like growing up, it wasn't like I was a Wisconsin fan, because they weren't
bad.
Good.
Well, they had the one stretch where it was the big cat they had.
That Rashard Griffin, yep.
And yeah, Rashard Griffin.
And him, right? And Howard, right? Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, yep. So they tried to put him on the map, but it wasn't, you know, finally when they got Dick Bennett there, yes, he started to get it going a little bit. But by that point, I was already a freshman in high school. It wasn't like I was like, I got to watch Wisconsin basketball.
But did you watch Green Bay when Tony was there and Dick was there?
Of course.
So were you, did you like the Bucks? Were you, because Minnesota had dudes back then, they were cheating their balls off, right? Mm-hmm. And then obviously, all, what when you grew up, like what were the what was the hoop that you watched on TV?
Yeah, it was Carolina. Like it was Carolina. That's what I watched up being a Carolina fan. I would watch everything that they did. So I love that. And I was a big Bucks fan. Like I love Vin Baker. Like it's crazy because Vin then last 2 years or 2 years ago, I was an assistant coach with the Wisconsin Herd. And Vin would come down and coach with the Herd. He's now an assistant with the Bucks. So it's crazy how it kind of, you know, this world is a small world. For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's just what it is. So that was my guy. Vin Baker was my guy. Like I love watching him.
So here's my lone. I have a couple of different ones. Sam Oakey. So Sam Oakey and I, now this is the story that I was told. And I don't know, you know, Wisconsin basketball was that Herb Cole promised Sam if he came to Wisconsin and they build the Cole Center. I think that's bullshit, whatever.
There's not much truth to that one. That Cole Center was getting built one way or the other. It didn't matter if Sam was there or not. Sam didn't last long enough for it to even matter.
I know. So I finished high school. I played in two all-star games. I was like a fill-in for Chauncey Billups got hurt for the Magic's round ball game.
Yep.
And I go to the Coca-Cola All-American game in Indy, and it was run by Bob Knight's son. Right? So I fly in, and two other dudes, Antoni Weiss, who's an assistant at Siena, was on that. And then Gary Bell, who was like our big recruit from Joliet, Illinois, who has an AU program in I think, North Carolina, was there. And my two members, we played in Market Square. And my two memories of that game are, one, I showed up at the first practice, and I was like the lone kid from California. And Gary Bell was listed 6'8". And he comes up, walking up to me, and he's like 6'4½". And I go, I thought you were 6'8". He's like, man, yo, dog, if I was 6'8", I'd be outlawed.
Yep. Right?
That was a great line. And then we go out, maybe after the game, and I gravitated towards Oakey. Like, he was a big personality. He had a fake ID.
Oh, he had all.
He was a nut. But I had to drag him out of he was going to get a fight in a bar, like two blocks from our hotel room, where I'm 19, he's 18, but he's a big old cat. He's about to fight these dudes, but he's hammered. And I had to drag him like two blocks to the hotel and then up to his hotel room and tuck him in. And it was the first time I'd ever done that in my life. And I was like, that is a wild dude. That is a crazy, crazy dude. That's until I got to know Mike Kelly, that was all I knew about Wisconsin basketball. It was like, Sam Oakey goes there, he's a nut. That's it. That's all I know.
Well, and Sam didn't last. Like, that was the thing about it, right? Like, Sam could have been this great guy. And, you know, you can get lost in Madison. Like, it'll eat you up. Like, if you're there for the wrong reason, you're going to have a fun time down there. So that's the unique thing about it. It's funny you tell these stories because, again, I end up going to the McDonald's game. And I'm rooming with Ndouibi. And those stories are the same way. Like, I'm a naive kid from Wisconsin. I just want to hoop. Like, that's all I did. Like, I didn't drink. I didn't party. I was about as, let's just get to work and let's do this. Like, that's just the way I was wired. I had a girlfriend here or there, but nothing serious. All of a sudden, I wake up. Andrew's got two girls next to him in the bed. And I'm just, this is all happening at the McDonald's game. And I'm like, what in the world? Okay. All right. Well, welcome to life outside of Wisconsin as far as this is what it is. Because
do you remember I did the NBA draft when he got drafted? Do you remember what David Stern announced him as? Duty EB. Duty EB. And I was like, man, like the greatest moment of this dude's life just got ruined because he couldn't read the card.
Well, and I was just, I'll be honest, I was shocked with the pick because I was just like he was good, but and then it ended
right.
up kind of
– You were right, they were wrong. Way. Yeah, yeah. You were right, they were wrong. You were an incredible high school player in Appleton. What's that experience like of being – look, to the rest of the world, it's a small town, as you point out, to Wisconsin, it's like one of the three big areas or whatever. But, like, you're as decorated a high school player as there has ever been in the state of Wisconsin. What was your high school experience like?
It was great. I mean, every gym we went to, they had to sell out gyms. They had to sell tickets. I mean, kind of what you think in a small town. Like, we, everywhere we went, we had to get there early. Tickets were being sold. Gyms were being sold out. They were bringing bleachers in from everywhere. They were trying to cram as many people in to the gyms. The experience was fantastic. I mean, it was. We were a show everywhere we went. And I know that's kind of corny to say it, but in a small town, that, like, that's what it was. When we went to
Who else was on your squad? And it doesn't matter if they're not big names now. Who else was on your squad?
Nobody will know any of them because there was only one guy.
Give them to me. We're giving them love. We're giving them love on the pod.
Nick Hansen, Matt Feet, Dustin Wabashevsky, guys by the name of Adam Hankey, Sean Golden. These guys were all guys, and I'm sure I missed a whole bunch of them, right? But these were guys that we just grew up, bunch of guys that just hoop, like, and we just put it together. It was now our high school coach prior to me getting to high school. He won a total of three games total.
The year before you got there?
No. Total in his coaching career.
Wait. How many years?
He was there for three, coached for 3 years.
He went three games total?
Total. He went 0-4, he went 1, and he went 2. Total. So, like, this is not like I went to high school in a powerhouse. No. Like, this was just the Appleton West High School. And had a 7-footer coming through. And the nice thing about it is, like, with all my guys, we could be real with each other. Like, we would get into fights constantly because the expectations are, you know, we have to be good. Like, I'm not going to lose. Like, we have to be good. This is what we're about. And so it was fun because we had guys buy in. And, I mean, that was the fun part about it. Everywhere we went, people wanted to see what we were about, how we were about it. I mean, a big time, we did a holiday tournament down in Madison, and we ended up playing Greg Steensman. And that, you should have seen it. It was Greg ended up going to Wisconsin. I went to Wisconsin. That was, like, everybody was there to see it. It was a great high school game.
Most points you had in high school, how many?
45, state tournament game.
Against who?
Played against Milwaukee Custer. And it was, you'll like this.
It was literally Custer's last stance.
Well, but here's the thing, like, their coach did not want to double team me, Doug. Didn't want to double team me. And I set that was the tournament record for points in a state tournament game. It got broken by a double overtime game.
There's a gaggle of Dieners. Which Diener?
Yeah, so I don't even know what it was because I was overseas playing and my phone blew up. So it had to be a couple of them because you're right, there's a bunch of them. But it was a kid from Cedarburg. A Diener that went to Cedarburg. That's all I knew is they hit me up and said he beat your record. I was like, fantastic.
Fucking Dieners. God damn the Dieners. I'm so tired.
They're like
of the
30 years old, too. So, I mean, they're playing high school in the 30. They held all of them back. But, like,
how's the whole back? The little guy's got to be held back.
Have to.
But a damn Diener. We don't need another Diener. Okay. So you get it going. Were you, and this is high school, are you talking to the coach? Like, am I want to go double team down here?
I'm talking a little bit, but not much. Just because it's like we're
what's
in the
their gym? Is that their gym or at your gym?
This is at the Kohl Center. This is a state tournament game. So this is big time, right? Like the gym, like, and he refused to double team. More or less telling me, you're not good enough. We don't think you're that good. So it was on. And after the game, I remember getting to the media and I remember this to the day. I said, well, and it was a situation where I missed a free throw. My coach took me out, didn't realize that I could break the record, put me back in, and I got fouled. And the coach for Custer was upset that my coach put me back in.
Yeah, right.
And I'm a high school, whatever. Like, if the coach tells you to go back in, you go back in. Like, that's not my call. But I remember the media asked me afterwards, he's like, do you think you should be going back in? And I said to him, if he was so upset about me scoring 45, he maybe shouldn't have let me score 44.
That's a pretty good line at 17.
So really? at that point, like then they lost it. Like the media lost it. Oh wow! And like, that wasn't who I am. But like I was ticked because it's like you should show me respect from the beginning.
It's a fair point.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Did you guys win the state championship?
We did not. We lost the state championship game. We lost. You talked about early on how a couple of fouls go one way or the other. I got my third foul in the first quarter on a tic-tac foul. And I walked back to the official. I said, I guarantee you that's the worst call I've ever seen. Nobody in this gym came to see you. And I said, I dare you to give me a technical for my fourth. Because I was heated. At, again, like we talked about our guys. We had one guy play college basketball, and he was a walk-on at Milwaukee. Right. Like right. we – it just – you know, we had a couple of other guys get some stuff later on, but it wasn't like we had D1 guys that were coming to play. Like, we put together a squad.
Did he give you that? Did he give you a technical?
No. No, he knew better at that point. Like, he knew better at that point. It was a tic-tac over the back.
So how'd you lose?
So we still – because I wasn't in the game. So we went up from about 10. We got down 10 right away. Like, it was just – it was like
he put you on the auto bench?
Oh, that's what it was, yo. So, and all okay. we did was so, play a zone. So, at the time, I mean, I get it. You know, you're at the moment, okay, we can't let him get the foul. We got to put him out. And I remember it to this day. So I'll be real. That's one that bothers me still. When I go back to high school, we don't have a state championship hanging. That still bothers me. There's no question about it.
Yeah, no, we lost in the CIF semifinals to Dominguez my junior year. And then the finals, but then we qualified for the state tournament, but we were just, we lost to a team in San Diego and just everybody else was done. And I was not done. And it was, it's a little like the NCAA tournament where like 67 teams go home unhappy, just different yeah. types of unhappiness. Yep. It was like that where I, you know, like I'm sure everybody's pissed they lose their last game, except the teams that win it. Even when you have these multi state championships, and there's bunches, how many state championships are there in Wisconsin?
There's five divisions.
And what division were you
in? We were Division One. So we were playing the Milwaukee schools, all of it, Madison schools, all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Was there anybody good on the team that you lost to?
Guy by the name of Draylon Burns. He was there. He was on their team. Ended up playing at DePaul. But they were just better. I mean, our first year, or my junior year when we made state, we lost to Madison LaFollette. They had both Flowers. Michael Flowers ended up being my teammate, was there, but they had another Flower. I mean, they just heated up our guards, and it was tough to get – a lot of times it's tough to get the ball past half court. I remember me having to bring it up sometimes. Like, it was just a different –
like it's like AAU ball. It's AAU ball. So, okay. So, during this time, now, did you play AAU as well, or you just only yeah. play high school?
Yeah.
What was the squad?
So, we played – it was called Wisconsin – now it's Wisconsin Playground Warriors. But it was just called Wisconsin Skills. Like, that's all it is. Fox Valley – not even Wisconsin. Fox Valley Skills. So, it was a bunch of kids from the Fox Valley – guy by the name of Richie Davis, who passed away. He ran Playground now, or used to run Playground, passed away a couple months ago, yeah, shoveling the driveway. And it was yeah. crazy. So he just got a bunch of us together, and local kids. Again, I'm going to yell names that you don't even know who they were. I mean, we had Tyrone Deacon, Josh Schneider, a guy by the name of Steve Hosel. Watney was from Rhinelander. So we just put together this group of local kids from the area. And we go down to Milwaukee, and we beat these teams. We go down to Madison, and we beat these teams. We went out to Bob Gibbons in Carolina. That's when I got a lot of my offers, because they put us in a pool with a bunch of bigs that were supposed to be highly ranked. I mean, I was dropping 40 on them every game. Like, and I don't even remember who the bigs were. I'll be honest, Doug. Like, for me, it was just
how did you get good when you're not playing against that level of athleticism on a daily basis? Like, what was your workouts like? What was your yeah. how did you develop your game?
So I played all the time, but for me, one of the biggest things, and I do it all the time in our camps. I tell our campers now that I'm running those and everything. I was big on skill development. Like, this is the thing, and I'm sure we'll get into this. Like, I was 6'11", 180, my freshman year of high school in the Big Ten or in college in the Big Ten. Like, I was 6'11", 160 my, like, junior year. Like, so it wasn't like it was bully ball. But I was going to be smarter because I studied the game. So I knew how to get angles. I knew how to create space.
What did you study? Who did you study?
So, I watched a lot of Vin Baker, but I would watch a whole bunch of tape of like, Larry Bird. And just I would just be watching this crazy film in general. And then any game I'd go to, like, so again, names, but like old, I'd be a freshman, I'd be an eighth grader, I'd go watch high school basketball games, and I'd learn from guys. Like, Darren Charles ended up being a football player, but he was really good. Bob Doherty was a football player, played at Wisconsin, ended up being really good. He could use his angle. So all this stuff, and you just try to steal as much of it as that you can, and then you try to add aspects to your game. But like, here's a great example. There's 10 guys in the gym. They want to play pickup game. I'm the 10th guy. Nah, man, you guys got to wait. I got to get my workout.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. I was that guy. But you know what? Guess what? The reason that we were good my high school year, my time, is because those guys then got their 20 minutes of workout in. Yeah. So they knew that before we hooped, like, we were going to do our skill stuff.
So you start doing, you start going mic, and they're like, we want to play. I got to do my mic.
No doubt. Like, no question. Like that. But to me, that's what, like, that's why I was good. It wasn't, I'm not an athlete. Yeah.
I mean, listen, like, I want to get into your camps and all the stuff you're doing, but as it's always interesting to me. It's like, so I do 3 days a week, and it's like a practice workout, you know, and you have limited time and gym space. And so you're like, all right, what is the percentage of time I do, you know, breakdown drills? What is the time I do skill development? What is the time I do team stuff? Because then you get into a tournament, and if you can't break the press, nothing else matters.
But that's the thing. Like, I think I was ahead of that, because in college at Wisconsin, we did individual stuff, but not a lot during the season. And we would find weight, but not nearly like they are now.
I do think that's a mistake, though. I do think, and that, you know, I have a philosophy. And one of the things that set me back was, you know, my shooting was a mess. But I would work in the offseason. No, the numbers don't
matter. No, I'm just playing, but you know.
I don't give a shit. Work. And then you get in the season, and you're so tired. First of all, you're so tired because you're going usually twice a day. But you'll get in, and so I would get up early and shoot. And then, like, you know, you get first day of practice, you're there half hour early, stay a half hour later. But then you get in the season, you're cooked.
Yeah.
And I think that coaches, really smart coaches, should have a day every week where it's like a U day, we'll call it a pro day, where team stuff, where you're just doing skill development for those players, because all the other stuff doesn't matter if you can't, you know, score the basketball, if you can't get to where you need to get to.
And I think that's what's changed. Like, I know at Wisconsin, I know Greg does a lot more of that stuff than Bo did when I was there. Now, I think Bo did it more with, like, Frank and Sam and those guys as well. So I think that's where it changed a little bit. And I think you've got to be able to adapt. And I think that's what happens. And so that's why I think I was ahead of it. The other thing is, I was a big that could shoot before bigs that could shoot were wanted. Like, that's just what it was. Like, but it's also because, like, again, I wasn't going to jump over anybody, and I wasn't going to bully anybody. The biggest I got was 230. Like, I mean, at my playing times, my redshirt year, I got up to 250, and I couldn't move. I went to our strength coach, and I went to Bo, and I was like, guys, I know you want me at this weight, but I can't be the player I need to be at this
weight. You went from 180 to 250?
In that offseason, yeah. In that redshirt year, they put on that much weight, yep. And I thought,
What are you eating?
Everything.
Cheese curds.
Oh, you name it. Literally, everything. I'd go on the road trips, and they were just like, Butchie, eat. Like, that's all we want you to do. Like, put on this weight. And that wasn't the answer for me. Like, the answer was just like, let me get back to doing what I do a little bit more. Like, you might want me here because it's the Big Ten, but that's not who it is. And I'm glad Bo and everyone was like, you know, you're right. Like, we see what it is. We wanted to get weight on you. We did. We put, you know, 70. We need to get you back down to 50 pounds, and then you can play and be the player we want you to be.
Okay. So why did you choose UW? Why? You grew up a Carolina fan.
Yeah.
Right? And you were a McDonald's All-American, and you could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Why'd you stay home?
Well, I took five visits. I went to Arizona. Okay. I went to Kansas.
Arizona, who was your host?
Channing Frye.
And then who is the coach? Was Lute still there?
It was Lute still, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. So that was the thing. That, to me, was why I didn't go, because I didn't know how much longer Lute was going to be around.
Okay.
But I just –
cool. Good visit, though? Like, dude comes from Wisconsin
It was great. Like, I went my junior year. It was great. I loved it. It was – like, they were worried about distance. I wasn't worried about distance. But I've always thought, as, like, a 17, 18-year-old kid, I kind of knew to read through the BS. Like, I didn't need, like, I was a kid that was like, hey, can we hoop on our visit? Like, can we play? Because I want to see what everyone's about. Like, let's play. That's kind of, so I always was trying to, you know, get through all the hey, this is what this, it's a great university. Come here. We've got your jersey. Okay. I'm good, man. Like, so it's funny because that's why I ended up at Wisconsin, because it wasn't that.
Okay, like, wait. So, okay. So Arizona, Channing Frye. Yep. Okay. Next visit was at where?
I went to Carolina.
Okay. Who's your host?
Sean May.
They were good.
They were really good. But who was the coach?
Roy Williams was the coach.
No.
Matt Doherty. Doherty was the coach.
And I knew that wasn't going to last because the players on my visit were just throwing them under the bus. And when that happens on a visit, you know it's done.
I have one for you. So it happened when I was at Notre Dame. When I visited Notre Dame, it was my first visit, and I went to a party, and there was a guy named Brooks Boyer there.
Yeah.
And Brooks was Digger's, like, last point guard. And Digger wasn't the coach. He wasn't recruiting. It was Fran McCaffrey, who's now at Iowa, was the recruited me. And John McCloud was the coach. And Brooks Boyer crushed John McCloud. Like, fucking crushed him. Mm-hmm. And me, that honest kid at the time, I told Fran about it. And, like, I don't think that guy was ever welcome back in the program while McCloud was there. Like, he just fucking crushed him. But yeah, a lot of what he said was actually right. It was, you know, I didn't go to UConn because we called Kevin Ollie. He was from out here in L.A.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, it's awesome. They play fast. They'll always have dudes. But he's going to bring in a point guard every year to compete with you. And I was like, you know, no thanks. Like, I didn't go to UCLA because they had taken a commitment from a kid behind me, right? Like, I totally get that. But my best, like, coach is going to get fired story was this. So I leave Notre Dame, and I was thinking about maybe transferring right away. I visited a couple places. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to sit at a junior college for a year. So I played in a couple junior college events, and Alabama saw me, and they recruited me. And Bob Marlin, who's the head coach, I think he's still a head coach of Lafayette, was the assistant. He was great. And Steve Prohm was like, he actually hosted me. He was a manager.
Okay.
And it was super weird. Dave Hobbs, the head coach, great guy. He was a longtime assistant at Kentucky. But I go and visit there, and it's weird. Like, there was another point guard there named Brian Williams, who I was a rival with in high school, and they were going to have to move him to the two. But they, like, kind of kept me away from him. Mm-hmm. And
they're smart. They know.
Yeah. So then I get home from the visit. I had a great visit. Like, Alabama, and this is Alabama football wasn't good then.
Yeah.
And the basketball program was pretty good, but missing something. And I get home, and Mark Godfrey calls me. And he's like, how is my school? And I was like, oh, it was great. And I knew Mark had recruited me at UCLA.
Yep.
And he was at Murray. And he's like, I think that's a great place for you. And I go, why? He's like, well, you know, I went to school there. It's an amazing place to go to school. And he goes, and I'm going to be the coach there next year. And I think he ended up being the coach there next year. And I think he thought, he was like, go there. I don't have to recruit a point guard. It's amazing. And I just thought to myself, like, wait, I'm going to play 2 years of college basketball for three coaches. Like, nah, yeah. not it. Okay. So you don't go to Carolina. All right. What are the other visits? The other two.
So I go to Kansas.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I had a host. I didn't have a host at Kansas. They had everybody. Like, it wasn't just one guy.
So,
like,
Roy's there. Who's on the squad at that time?
So they've got, oh, goodness gracious. I believe, if I'm right, like, we didn't play, and I didn't get it. Like, we were with the guys a little bit, but we weren't a whole lot because the timing of when I took the trip was a little crazy. So I didn't get a lot of the players' interaction. I was with the coaches a lot of this trip. But it was there. It would have been – I took the trip in 02. So who was on that roster in 02 now?
It was still Heinrich and Collison were still there.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, that's what I saw. And that's why we weren't around them that a lot, because they were still doing their thing and they were older. And they – that's exactly what it was. Yep. So how that played out. So it was great. Like, it was a great trip, everything about it. And I knew those guys weren't going to be around. So it wasn't like they brought them around me a whole lot because they knew they weren't going to be around. So it was one of those where it was like, it's not like you had this great relationship because they knew they were going to be gone. So I ended up getting a whole bunch of kind of time with coaching. And that was the thing for me. Like, I knew Matt wasn't going to be at Notre Dame or North Carolina. And I asked him, I said, all right, coach, like, one school you can leave for, what is it? Like, and I said, I've been honest with you.
For like 16, 17 years old?
Yes. Yes. It was at his house. It was at his house because he always had waffles that Sunday morning. So I asked him at his house, his wife is making like it. And I just said, if there's one school, I said, and all I've asked this whole time is for you to be honest with me. I've been honest with you about everything. And he goes, the one school I'd leave for is Carolina. And I'm like, you're gone. Like, this is a done deal. In my head, this was a done deal. Now this is the thing with Roy, like, and it's a shame he's done. Cause I think the game changing pushed Roy out with all the transfers, with everything else versus him kind of going out on his terms. I think the game changing and all the darn transfers broke him because it's different.
I think the NCAA thing too. I think my own perception of it is that was that everybody at the university, a lot of people at the university kind of knew.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's like one of those, hey man, you want an easy A? Take African American Studies. Psst, pass it on. Right. And when he got there, like, he quietly wanted to shut it down. People were like, well, why did he quietly want to shut it down? It's like, because it went back to Dean Smith. Like, nobody wants to say anything bad about Dean Smith. Like, it just happened. Like, just we're not. So I actually think he in many ways did the right thing for the family.
Yes.
But I think that wore him out. I think his health. But then I think the straw that broke the camel's back is like, North Carolina has always been about, we're just going to go. And he was an amazing recruiter. Like, I was always jealous because he recruited Paul Pierce my year, and he didn't recruit me. He took Ryan Robertson instead. But he would sit at midcourt, which I'm sure he did your game, right?
Yep.
Come to your high school game, he'd sit at midcourt right there, and he was there to watch one guy. And whoever that one guy was like, he felt great about himself. And everybody else was so jealous of that guy, right?
Yep.
So what did he say when you said that to him? What did he say to you?
So he goes, the one school I'd leave for is Carolina. And he was honest with me. So it was awesome. So before I talk about the other two recruits, like, I was still a kid that didn't know where I wanted to go. Like, I didn't know. And I remember picking up the phone, having a phone call with him, and Roy saying, I'm going to take my Kansas hat off and I'm just going to talk with you. And by the time we talked for about 3 hours, by the time we got done with it, he goes, son, I think the best place for you is to go to Wisconsin. And I was like, what? Like, and this was him just being real, just being a good dude, Doug. Like it was him just being a good dude. It was crazy.
All right. So what are the other two?
So I went to Marquette when Tom Crean was there. And Scott Merritt was my host. But they had billboards everywhere. They had my jersey in the rafter, the Bradley Center. And I was like, you guys don't know me. Like, that, I don't need that. That's not me at all. Like, you are so far off on what I'm about. Like, this just isn't going to work. And then the last trip I took was to Wisconsin, and it just was what I was about. Like, there was none of the hoopla. There was none of this. There was nothing. Like, I mean, and every school offered, like, the private jets. Like, Carolina offered a private jet to go there. Even Wisconsin, they used an airplane to fly me down there. And that was cool, but, like, they didn't do everything else. They're like, hey, this is great. We'll do this because Carolina did this, and we got to beat out Carolina and all this other stuff. But, like, they were just like, this is what we're about, and we're going to work. And that's what I'm about. Like, that, I don't need all the other stuff. And so I know it sounds very vanilla, but let's just work, you know?
Okay, I got to tell you about my Marquette business. Okay. So I transfer and I sit out and Mike Dean's the coach.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I love Mike Dean. I know some people, like, he's a crazy person.
He's crazy. Yeah.
And his favorite word to yell at his own team starts with a C. And ends with the sucker. I curse in the pod. I won't say that word. That's a little above. But it was – so I show up in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, where I was born. My dad was head coach at UWM for like 5 years in the 70s and early 80s. And Anthony Piper and Chris Crawford Woody were my hosts. And they lived in these dorms, which are right on campus or whatever. And I walk in. And this is what I love about Wisconsin people. Like, is I walk in and they didn't even get up. And there's like a rectangle of beers on the table.
Oh, yeah.
A rectangle. Perfect rectangle. And I walk in like, hey, come on in. I was like, how you guys doing? And they introduced themselves. And I was like, what's with the beer? Like, you want one? Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Milwaukee. Like, I have to have a beer. It's like, you know, it's a birthright. And like, good. We got a long weekend. That's going to be a pyramid by the end of the weekend, whatever. I was like, okay.
We drank.
Then that night, there's a bar on campus we drank at that Dino took you out to, and then he leaves, right? The next day, we go to a Brewer game because I took a spring visit.
Yep.
Go to a Brewer game. We played quarters at the Brewers game. I mean, like, it was – and we hooped.
Yeah.
Like, we got up Saturday morning, and we just hooped, and then we lifted together, and then, you know, we went over to the Bradley Center, and then we went to the baseball game, and then Sunday morning before that, we hooped again. And then here's where Dean was the greatest, was he was like, I went to Oklahoma State. He's like, you still want to work camp, right? You still want to work camp? Yeah. I worked camp for him. The summer after I signed with Oklahoma State, I worked camp the next two summers, I worked camp for him. And at his camp, he had a keg in the locker room, and the keg had to be floated by Thursday. Camp rule, keg had to be floated by Thursday. It was the best.
Yep.
It was the best.
Yep.
Okay.
No question, right.
So you show up at Wisconsin. You're the most decorated kid ever, right? But you're 180 pounds, and it's the Big Ten. What was the decision like to redshirt? Whose decision was it? How did it come to be?
I mean, it was together with me and Bo a little bit. You know, I mean, I could see how it was going. And here's the thing. Like, all of my catches were at the free throw line. Like, everything I was doing – And in high school, I played a 2-3 zone, so I didn't defend. And if you don't guard, you're not going to play. So I remember having a conversation with Gary Close, our assistant. He was like, Butchie, are you going to be better your freshman year here or your senior year? Like, is that development year for you going to be crucial? And we sat down. I was like, absolutely it is. Let's do it. I know I'm going to catch heat. Now, what people don't know, and I did catch heat from a couple of people. We'll get into that a little.
Really, I'll explain in a second, but go ahead.
Perfect. But what people didn't understand at that time is my mom had cancer and my uncle passed away. Yeah.
And who passed away?
And my uncle passed away unexpectedly. Yep. So, like, we had all that going on, and I'm trying to figure out how to, like, because, again, how did I have success in high school? I wasn't more athletic, and I wasn't jumping over people, and I wasn't bowling people, right? Like, that just wasn't the way I did it. Like, so I was IQ, it was skills, it was getting all that stuff. And my catches were so off and my strength was so off. So I just said, let's do this. Like, and for me, and I, like, part of my first, that summer down there, I wasn't a kid that was wild. Well, I went out more than I ever had gone out. Like, so I was like, you know, I experienced that. I was like, I'm not where I need to be at if I want to be the player that I want to be. Like, we talked about Sam Oakey. Like, I specifically said, I don't want to be Sam. I want to leave here. Leaving a mark. And I think we would have done that. Like, my junior year, if I don't dislocate my elbow, we're number one in the country. We play Greg Owen and Mike Conley. Like, I think that team we had was good enough to get to a Final Four, possibly win a national championship. So, like, I thought we had it where we needed to. I just, be honest, I got hurt a lot in college. And it was because I think just so much of what we tried to do with it. But that's how the redshirt happened. I said, I'm going to be better. If I get my body right to, because you can't play at 180 in the Big Ten. You just can't. I don't care who you are.
Well, first, I owe you an apology. Okay. I owe you an apology because at the time I had no idea. It was one of my first years working at ESPN, if you kind of you go back to it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. There was two different things. It was one with you, and then there was an officiating call. I think against Indiana, where you guys were playing Indiana, and the ref was also the athletic director at Northern Iowa.
Okay.
And it was a really bad call at the end of the game. And my Indiana was on the bubble and Northern Iowa was on the bubble.
Yep.
And my point was at the time was like, it doesn't even matter. I'm not accusing the official of cheating.
Yeah.
Right? What I'm saying is it just looks bad for the league that you have, you know, like if Northern Iowa gets in the tournament, he gets elevated. And if Indiana doesn't, right, there's just a limited number of spots.
No question.
And I thought I worded it pretty well. And I think the thing with you was I don't remember how we got into discussing you. And my point was like, hey, if he was that good, why'd he redshirt his freshman year? And I think that sometimes the McDonald's All-American label works against guys because my logic and reasoning, like, I don't know if you were the same year as Kawhi, but you're really close. But like Kawhi Leonard wasn't a McDonald's All-American. He was the state player of the year in California. And he wasn't because he wasn't on the circuit. And he wasn't as well known. Some guys are there because of their rankings. Some guys are there because of their high school. Some guys are there because of their NBA draft status more than how good a player they actually were. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were misevaluating you and your recruiting class because of McDonald's All-American status. And I don't think I articulated it well enough. Right. And it's, as you do TV now, you know, somebody goes like, give me something in 40 seconds, you know?
Oh yeah. And they come at you fast. Right.
Right. And like, look, just be honest. Like my style is a lot like yours where I just say what I think.
Yeah.
And not realizing at the time that I'm putting a complete undue amount of stress and pressure on you and not having any clue what's going on in your personal life. So first, most importantly, I apologize to you because I didn't know. And it wasn't, and I'm one of these guys where it literally has nothing to do with me personally. It's more like, hey, and I still believe it's more on how we evaluate what a player should be simply because of how decorated he was in high school or how highly ranked he was in high school, where you and I both know you get to college and you'll play dudes you're like, that dude's terrible. And then you'll have another guy like, I've never heard of this guy in my life. And you did this though with the Wisconsin Herd, where it's more professional basketball, where you're like, I've never heard of this dude. He's unbelievable. Where has he been? Like, he played at a small school.
Yeah. Well, a great example of that, when I was at Wisconsin, we played against Paul Millsap. Never heard of Paul Millsap. Look at what Paul's done now, right? Like it, and so much of it is about, you know, what system you're in, getting a break. You know that. I mean, that's what it is. And for me, like at 185 and everything I had going on, I wasn't in the mental space to be the player that I needed to be. By the time I left, much different. Like, I mean, by the time I left, first team all Big Ten, and we won Big Ten championship. That's
what was supposed to be. What was Bo like? What was it really like?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Like, so Bo now, I can call him. We can chop it up all the time. You weren't walking into Bo's office to have conversations. There was one way of doing it. And that goes back to kind of how I ended up redshirt. Like, I didn't know how to defend because I was in the middle of a 2-3 zone my whole high school time. And you had to play Bo's way. There was no other way, right? Like, you got chewed out. You got – but the thing is, even though I redshirted, I had his respect because I remember we were in a practice and Bo always had a guy. Like, I always had a whipping boy. Like, it just was what it was.
Always.
And
that was me, by the way.
What?
That was me in college.
Yeah.
Run your ass back to California. And they called me afterwards, like, I'm going to chew your ass out every day because you can take it.
Yup. But the thing is with Bo, not everybody could take it. That was his whipping boy. That was the difference, right? And I remember my redshirt year, we're getting towards the end of the year, and I'm starting to play at a level that I'm like, this is what I should be playing like. This is how I should be playing. And one of the starters, I just kept giving him buckets and buckets and buckets. Finally, I'm hitting a three, and he just chucks. I mean, he just throws two hands right into my chest, chucks me. He's frustrated. Scout team just whipping him.
Who is it?
And what?
Who's the starter?
Dave Mader was a guy. And then now I live right next to him. It's crazy. He was an Appleton guy, right? So I got back up, and this is – Rob Jeter was still on the staff, and Robbie had that, and now he's the head coach at Western Illinois. But, like, he had that in him. Like, Robbie had that, and he was on the scout team. We were talking a little bit. So I got right back up, and I started swinging at Dave, and we started swinging each other. And Bo's over there just laughing. And at that point, I knew I had his respect because – like you go through a redshirt year, he doesn't really pay much attention to you. Like, hey, you go with the strength guy, get your weight on, get strong. When you can help me, come on, we'll talk type deal. Now, Bo was a little bit more than that, but most of the time when you're out of play, you're out of play. Like, it's their job to win games now, not when you're ready. Like, they got to win games now. So that's kind of where it was at. And so that's how it played out.
When I say, like, what was what was Bo like? Like, give me big games. What was he like? What was his pre-games like? Like, what was it really like to be you playing for Bo Ryan in the biggest NCAA tournament games?
I'll say that the only games that our practices were different leading up to it was Marquette and Michigan State. Like, we knew when it was Marquette game, we knew when it was Michigan State game. We knew we were going to run lines before in practice the day before. Like, we knew we were going to get on the line
before a big game.
Oh yeah, it's because he was nervous. So like, we knew like that's just what it was going to be. Like, we knew he was going to say, "All right, you guys aren't playing well enough. Get on the line." Like, that was a given every single time we played those guys. But other than that, like, it was the same, Doug. Like, his preparation was the same. We would get so many possessions in. As long as we were 1 point per possession, boom, practice done, get ready to rock and roll. We didn't change defenses a whole lot. We didn't put in new schemes. We were just better at what we ran and how we did it than most every team we played. And, like, there's, you know, basketball, the more difficult you make it, the harder it is on everybody. Like, it was simple and we were really good at it, and that's why we won. So, like, you know, Bo had his quirks. Like, I tell this story a lot. You know, my senior year, I finally had enough confidence to talk to him about it and say, "Hey, what's going on?" Like, but I always say, "Coach, why do you always sit in the back of the plane? Like, what's up?" He goes, "Brian, have you ever seen a plane go downhill first? Like, have you ever seen?" I'm like, "Coach," and finally I come back and say, "Coach, if this plane goes down, we're all done. I don't care if it's tail first, nose first, we're all dead. Like, if this plane's going down, we're all done. You're not surviving." But, like, that was that PA in him, man. Like, that's just that Philly guy out of him.
You know, I a guy named Randall Dickey was on our staff. James was the head coach at Texas Tech at the time. And it's interesting because the year after I left, they had the plane crash.
Yeah.
And I will never forget Randall Dickey used to, the same plane that went down. It was the third plane. We flew at 3-4 planes.
Yep.
And he said, I was like, "Man, why are you always sitting in the back?" It's like, "Oh, man, you ever seen one of these things back into a mountain?" I was like, "You know, hey, bro, it hits a mountain, we're gone." But whatever.
We're gone.
You do you. How hard is it to look back and go, "Hey, that junior year, we could have won the whole thing if not for the elbow?"
I'll be 100% real here. Like, I don't look back at the past. Like, the past is the past. Like, I mean, we had a really good team. If I don't dislocate my elbow, what do we do? Hey, the verdict's still out, in my opinion. I mean, we end up losing to UNLV and Lon Kruger and his son, who now is at UNLV. And, like, I mean, he went off. I didn't play in the tournament at all. You know, you talk about, like, what moments might be. Like, that's a moment that possibly leads me to a bigger platform, because it's the NCAA tournament. If you play well in the NCAA tournament, boom, the spotlight's on you. Everyone's talking about you more. Draft scouts are doing their jobs. I mean, you've been on that side. I've been on that side. A lot of these scouts don't necessarily do their job. They just look at the board and say, "Oh, this guy's here. We'll look at this," and then we'll start to evaluate a little bit more. But, like, you got to get on the list first, and you got to be on all that stuff. So that's a little bit different. But, like, we had a really good team. Still, even when the two teams from Wisconsin went back-to-back Final Fours, they still weren't ranked number one in the country ever. Like, we were the only team to be ranked number one in the country at Wisconsin. So, yeah, is it one of those things you look at and say, "What could have been?" Absolutely. But I don't – like, there's too many good things ahead of us and ahead of what's going on to sit back and look back upon and say what could have been, should have been. Like, it's the cards we were dealt, man.
Okay, your last game was – Steph Curry's last win in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. Georgetown was top team in the country, right? They take down Georgetown, right? So you guys got like a week off to prepare for Davidson. What did you honestly think? Because every scout report I've ever been in for an NCAA tournament, like, this team is incredible. Guy is incredible, right? They build them up because but it's Davidson. You're watching tape. What do you think?
All right, we're good. Like, we're good. Like, he's not going to do that. Like, he's had a great weekend, but he can't do that again. Like, he can't do that again. Like, there's no way. We're good. We're going to play Kansas for a chance to go to the Final Four your senior year in Detroit, where we're going to have a boatload of fans. Like, and we could beat this Kansas team because this Kansas team I didn't think was that good. Like, I loved the matchup. They had Sasha Khan, but they had Mario. Like, all right, they're all right. But, I mean, they end up, you know, going overtime win. Like, I get all that. But I still didn't think they were that good. I thought we could compete with them, and I thought we could have beat them. Like, so that's what we're thinking. And then all of a sudden, our point guard, Trayvon Hughes, rolls his ankle against Kansas State. So he comes in. He's practicing all day, all week long. And a little bit before the game time, it's like, my ankle hurts. And I'm like, he's like, I can't go. And then at that point, it was like, oh, man. Like, now we're shifting, guys. Our best defender is there. But now when Michael Flowers goes out, now we got to put Jason Bohannon on Steph. And, like, J-Bo's a great shooter, but great J-Bo was never a defender. And now we're in scramble mode. And then Steph starts cooking. And once he started cooking, about that first half, I said, oh, no. Like, because you knew once he was done, like we had just saw it the weekend before. We saw the film, and now we're starting to see it in person. And I was like, man, like, they had a really good point guard in Richards.
Jason Richards, very, very good.
Yeah, really good point guard, solid. They had a decent big. But, like, there's no way we should have lost that game. It just – my man got hot. And then I'll say this.
He didn't get hot. That's who he is.
Like, that's my point. That's what I'm just going to say. Like,
he did not get hot. That's who he is.
No. He got hot because he didn't do
– He hit crazy shots against us. Bro, he hit crazy shots against everybody.
That's my point is, like, we thought he got hot, and then he started really – and then, like, you look at his career and you're like, yo – like, I'm doing TV, you're still hooping, and you're an MVP. Like, hey, I'm overseas in Dubai. I'm overseas in Japan. Like, more power to, like, when you know.
This is a real question, okay? Because I did his games that year. And, you know, I'm famous for underestimating what I thought it'd be Jeff Hornacek in the league. That's what I thought. Did you think, like, oh, that's a dude. Like, that's an MVP, two-time MVP, greatest shooter in the history of the sport guy.
No, I thought he was his dad, right? Like, stick around because you knew, and I knew at that point, if you made shots in the NBA, you could survive. Like, if you make shots, you can survive in the NBA. But if that's what you do, that is a skill set that the NBA looks at way more than any other level. Like, if you make shots, you can survive. I thought he was going to be his dad. I didn't know what thought he was going to be this. Like, so when you looked at it and you said it, you weren't far, like, nobody thought he was going to be what he was. But I think it goes back to the way the game's changed now, the emphasis on the three. And then he had great players around him that they were able to build it in the situation. Now, you can throw Steph anywhere, but it helps the pieces that they have around. And, like, you got to have
all. And he got better.
Yes. He got better. Yes, like, which is crazy.
He got better. When was the point? You played all over, right?
Yeah.
When you did the Bakersfield Jam, right? I got to play in the league. I got to play a day in the league. Like, what was the – because you played overseas and the money's better overseas. Was that the reason for coming back stateside?
So my first 2 years, I fought for money overseas. So I was in China, had a great deal, played a game. They had a plane ticket on my bed. Then after a game, it said, hey, you're going back here. We're sending you home. Okay, great. But so I had a whole boatload of money that I didn't get there. Went to Greece, was playing well. They didn't pay me. I was sick of not getting paid, Doug. Like, it was that simple. Like, I was fighting so much, and the joy of just playing was gone. And I'm big on that. Like my passion and my joy for the love of the game, like, that's why I played. It was never about the money. Like, I was sitting in Greece, and I legit said, I need to go play in the G League or the D League at that point, and I need to just figure out, like, can I make a career of this where I can get paid decent money without having to chase it constantly. And I think that was the best thing for me, was not to get paid, because I was in Bakersfield, and three months later, then I got called up to the Nuggets. Like, it was like that. That was the difference. Like, and it clicked for me, because I was a big that could shoot, but defensively I wasn't that good. Like, couldn't move my feet, couldn't do anything. I remember Mark Warkentin, GM of the Nuggets, was from Bakersfield. So he's catching the game, and he just chatted. He's like, dude, I want to bring you up because I think you can stretch the floor. I think, you know, big that can play, that can give Melo space. Like, I want to be able to do all that for you. You got to do something on the defensive end for me. So he's like, even if you just rebound the basketball, that's a skill set. So from that point on, I had 25, 30 straight double doubles where it was just like, all right, that's my skill set. Perfect. And it just clicked.
Didn't you get cut though before or set back down before playing in a game? Like they called you up?
Yep. So I had a 2-year deal. And so I got called up at the end of the year. And then I was in the playoff on the team for the playoffs. And I had another year deal on that contract. So you go play summer league, right? Like that's what it is. You play summer. I ruptured my patella tendon in summer league. So I was out 15.
But didn't you like when you got called up from the Jam to Denver, didn't you get called up and then they put on a 10-day, but they didn't play you before you ever played a game?
So it was end of year contract. Exactly. So I never played, but it was a 2-year deal. So I had an end of year contract. Then I played summer league. And then I had a whole nother year contract with them. And before I was ever to get into a game, like, so I didn't play at the end of the year, but I'm like, all right, great. I'm set up for great, you know, for next year, let's do summer league. Let's play. Let's figure all this stuff out. In that summer league is when I ruptured my patella tendon. And then that's when they released me. So then at that point, you're fighting it, right? Like you've got that X on your name, injury prone, this and that. So this is the kicker. 15 months back, I'm back. I work my way back. It's the lockout year. I signed a contract with New Orleans and I'm going to start our preseason game. There's two preseason games. I'm starting. That's the year Chris Paul gets traded, but Chris Paul doesn't get traded because David Stern X-nays it. So like there's nobody on this Pelicans roster, on this Hornets roster. Like, there's nobody. This is, like, ideal. This is when Lance Thomas makes a name for himself, right? And he's able to stay
right.
So I'm starting. Nope, not a problem. I'm good. Like, this is great. Literally, our bags are packed. We're doing one last drill. I'm out hedging a ball screen. Jerome Dyson comes into my knee. Boom, my other knee rupture or tear my patella tendon, tear my MCL, and it's a wrap. Like, yeah. And it's a wrap. That would have been my best shot to like stick or at least have a play, you know, and do it. And so at that point, I was in the G League a little or the D League a little bit longer. Cause I just wanted to see, like I was stubborn at that point. And I remember halfway through, I called my agent. I said, dude, like, is this going to happen or not? And I said, I don't need this fake agent talk. Cause at this point I was 29. I was like, yeah, it's time to cash out. I said, if not, I need to make money. So then I went overseas and I played everywhere. I played in Dubai. I played in the Philippines. I played in Tokyo. Wherever I was going to get paid, let's go. Let's cash out. Let's make these last couple of years great. And those were the best years because me and my wife at that point traveled the world, got paid great money to do it.
I want to do another pod where we do the travels. But yeah. We'll do that. I got to run to my radio show. So I got two more for you and I got 4 minutes.
Perfect.
First one is this. When was the moment to which you were done?
I was in Fukuoka in Japan. And at that point, me and my wife had been married a long time. I looked at it and said, what am I doing? Like, where's the end game here?
But did you play a game? Were you just
playing a game? Yeah. So we won a championship. We won a championship. But for me to be able to play at the level that I expect myself to play at, like I hurt too bad. My knees hurt. My back hurt. Everything was done. I said, what is this? So I won two championships in Japan. I said, that's it. It's done.
You now have your own camps, basically an academy.
Yep.
Like this is, you built a life on basketball. But like how, what is it like though to, on you want to teach kids the game, but there are certain kids which you got no shot.
Yeah.
Right. And then there are other kids which like you have a shot, but you have to listen. You have to trust me because I've actually lived this life. What's that experience like for you?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing is the kids that, you know, aren't going to get that Division I scholarship. My biggest thing to them is, well, what are your goals? Like, and just being real with them. Like, what are your goals? If your goal is to play high school basketball, let's get you to that level. Like, it's not going to be to play D1. I'll tell you that right now. And I think the time that you're honest with people and whatever you do, now you set them up to be successful. But you can't give them fake news. You can't give them this stuff and this false hope of this is where they're going to be at. And I think that's where we start with it. And then when these kids do get and make the high school team, one kid I worked with was not that good. He made the high school team. He was a contributor. That was the highlight of his whole career. Now he's a manager with the Minnesota Gophers. Like, I mean, like that's his thing. So he's still part of the game, but it's because he had a good experience with the game.
This is Okay, so we'll set up this part two for next week, and that way we can run them kind of back to back. But here's the, it's interesting. Brad Stevens, I asked him about his son. I think it's Brady. And I said, how's he doing? He's like, he'll play high school basketball. Maybe, you know, I play D3. Maybe he can play D3. He's like, but you know what? He's going to grow up loving the game, being around the game. And if he wants to, he can make a life out of the game, yep. Which isn't, you know, but it's really hard for a kid when they're 12, 13, 14 to have that perspective, you know?
It is. So you just got to be honest. That's the biggest thing, man. That's what we try to do with all of our kids. And it, you know, as long as they love it, you can do it. Like you've done, like I've done. Like, it's just, you know, doing BTN and doing everything that we're doing, that I'm doing now. Like, it's just because you treat the game. George Carl said that to me at a young age. If you treat the game well, the game will be good to you.
I don't know if I agree with that. That's for our next pod.
Okay,
perfect. That's for our next pod. In the meantime, I really appreciate you having me on and know how busy you are. And we'll do part two very, very soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. That's part one for Brian Butch. I wanted to get to him playing overseas and what those stories were actually like. I think you'll really enjoy it. By the way, if you like stories like this, and our interviews are obviously aren't as, they're not as long running, right? Like, the runtime is much shorter, but we do, I think, really good interviews on the Doug Gottlieb Show daily, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. In the meantime, stay tuned. Part two will drop in like 2 days. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.